The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed?
Hope those fans didn't drive to the game in a pickup truck waving the American flag. That could have been a very, very dangerous situation. Could have been the second coming of Pearl Harbor, in fact. 12,000 fans packed into arena, not wearing masks, by the way, and singing loudly and proudly the American anthem, the national anthem, drowning out the singer there. Her name was Nicole Revive, I believe. That happened just last night. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. We come to you live every day at this exact time here in the Central Time Standard or Zone. It's at 11 a.m. and out west in the United States, it's 9 a.m. And of course, it comes over at noon on in the East Coast. You can hear us on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network. But as I've said before, if you want to see the video presentation of this live broadcast, you have to go to our very own website, thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to the live stream or you can watch it later on demand, just like you can with many of the previous broadcasts that we've had in weeks past. So you can get to all of these shows at our website, thetrumpet.com. You can call our toll-free number. If we offer some literature today or refer to some literature today, that's toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-866-930-3024. Well, we didn't quite have a crowd the size of the one you just saw there, but we had a performance down in Austin, Texas last night, 350 people, a very enthusiastic group of 350 supporting the Celtic Throne entourage. And they perform again this Monday night in Amarillo, Texas. And I'm told that we've already sold about 500 tickets for that event. So that's in Amarillo, Texas. And if you'd like to see that show, if you're anywhere in the panhandle of Texas or nearby, go to CelticThrone.com. And you can order tickets for the Amarillo show. There's one in Birmingham, Alabama coming up next week. There's one in Nashville, Tennessee, the week after that, and then we hit Memphis, we hit Little Rock, Arkansas, and Tulsa before returning to the final performance. That's on July 11th here in Edmond, and here again, I'm told there's only about 120 tickets left for that final show on July the 11th. So if you want to see it, if you're from Oklahoma and you want to see the program or the show, make sure that you go to CelticThrone.com. Well, that scene that you saw there, that was at the New York Islanders-Boston Bruins match. About 12,000 people showed up at the Nassau Coliseum in Long Island, New York. And we've been noting of late these massive banners that are being lowered at baseball stadiums and elsewhere. How that it's happened in New York, it's happened in Boston. And, of course, Long Island, that's where this New York Times, a member of the editorial board, Mara Gay, I played that soundbite for you earlier this week, where over the weekend she made the mistake of going up to Long Island. And what did she see? It terrified her. She saw pickup trucks. And she saw U.S. flags flying next to a Trump flag. I mean, it made her very uncomfortable. It was very, to use her words, it was very disturbing. And the New York Times, the editorial board, they rushed to her defense, tweeting this out. The New York Times editorial board member Mara Gay's comments on MSNBC have been irresponsibly taken out of context. Her argument was that Trump and many of his supporters have politicized the American flag. The problem is, you guessed it, Trump. Throw in racism and you got everything covered. Trump's the problem, says the New York Times. The attacks on her today are ill-informed and grounded in bad faith. I mean, we just played the clip as she said it on MSNBC. We didn't edit it. She's the one that said it. I went to Long Island. I saw Trump supporters. I saw pickup trucks. I saw U.S. flags. I saw Trump flags, and I was uncomfortable. It was dangerous. It was disturbing. Mara Gay, by the way, she's the one. I forget what year this was, but she was the one that it was when Michael Bloomberg was running for president, and he spent $500 million on his campaign. And she's the one that came out and said, well, if he would have just given that campaign money to every single American, everyone could have gotten $1 million each. All 337 million Americans would have been millionaires. So she's not only she's really bad at math. She's terrified of the U.S. flag. And wait for it. And she's a member of the New York Times editorial board. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Of course it does in the upside-down world. There she is. She also obviously appears on MSNBC from time to time. So she makes that statement on cable TV, and then the New York Times people rush to her defense. She's got fellow communists who are there to say, hey, now wait a second. You're twisting her comments. Or even worse than that, this is Sunny Hostin on The View. And listen to what she had to say yesterday, clip two.
When I drive into a neighborhood and it's not July 4th and I'm not in a predominantly military household neighborhood and there are flags, American flags everywhere alongside Trump flags, alongside flags with stars in a circle, I feel threatened because the message is very clear. It's a message of white supremacy. It's a message of racism. And it's a message of their country, not my country. And I don't understand why that would receive backlash.
She can't understand why Mara Gay would be criticized. And she herself, she's afraid of the U.S. flag. You can fly it on July 4th. Or if you're a member of the military. Outside of that, it's dangerous. It's evil. White supremacist, she says, to fly the U.S. flag. What other country does this? In what other country do you have the talking heads? Do you have the prominent commentators getting up and saying, look, the flag is dangerous. And what does it spring from? Well, you heard Joe Biden last week talk about how the nation is racist. We're just inches away from another Tulsa massacre. That's what he said last week. How did he put it? The through line. It runs right through to today. I'll play it again for you. Clip 11.
And finally, we must address what remains the stain on the soul of America. What happened in Greenwood was an act of hate and domestic terrorism. with the through line that exists today still.
He said that last week on the anniversary of that Tulsa massacre, and then D-Day comes around and he says nothing. He has nothing to say about U.S. soldiers, white and black, sacrificing their lives for America's freedom to keep Europe free. He just skips right over that one. Here they are, as if they haven't weaponized enough things. They're weaponizing history. They're cherry-picking events and just hurling it in our faces and saying, it's the same today. It's the same today. And so it's no surprise. It shouldn't be. Sonny Hostin and Mara Gay to get up and say, yeah, it's a symbol of white supremacy. You don't hear anything about healing those wounds and bringing the nation together and what unifies us. If the national anthem and the U.S. flag can't unify the entire nation, well, that tells you something about where we're headed, doesn't it? I played earlier this week the comments from the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, African-American man who says that, you know, look, we need to confront the trouble that we're facing. We've got to fight for our history. We've got to fight for our freedoms. Otherwise, we're just going to surrender to the forces of tyranny. And he brought up a lot of history. A lot of history that should be something that unifies. Here's what he had to say last weekend, clip 4.
And it doesn't matter what color you are, what nation your folks hail from, how much money you got. We all share the same name. We are Americans. And at Bunker Hill, there was Americans. And at Fredericksburg and Gettysburg, there was Americans. And at Iwo Jima, raising that flag on Suribachi, it was Americans. And at Pork Chop Hill, there was Americans. At Quezon, there was Americans. And on 9/11, there was Americans who ran towards those burning buildings. That is who you share your heritage with. You do not share your heritage with a weak and ineffective people who cower at the sign of trouble. You share your heritage with a strong and brave people who are determined to hold on to their freedom and for the freedom of future generations.
That's the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina talking about the heritage that we share with all Americans. And in the backdrop there, you saw two American flags. You don't hear that, though, coming from the Marxist radicals. They hate the history. They want to destroy. They want to revise the history, or they want to cherry-pick the history to remind us all of just how horrible and evil this nation is and how horrible and evil that flag is because of all that it represents in their minds. It wasn't that long ago. You know, they'd take a knee for the national anthem and they'd say, that doesn't mean we're not patriotic. We're not against the military. We're not even against the flag. But we've got to, you know, we've got to bring attention to all of our evils, to all of the racism that we've had in our past. And now look at where we are just a few years on from that. Now they're attacking the U.S. flag as if that's a symbol that we can't rally around as one nation. What does this mean for the United States and its future? You listen to Joe Biden, you listen to some of these commentators, and then, of course, out front, you have Barack Obama, who's been lighting the fuse on the race bomb ever since he came to prominence politically, doing everything that he can to divide the United States along racial lines. This was Barack Obama with Anderson Cooper the other night, clip 3.
I also think that there are certain right-wing media venues, for example, that monetize and capitalize on stoking the fear and resentment of a white population that is witnessing a changing America and seeing demographic changes and do everything they can to give people a sense that their way of life is threatened and that people are trying to take advantage of them. And we're seeing it right now, right? Where You would think, with all the public policy debates that are taking place right now, that, you know, the Republican Party would be engaged in a significant debate about how are we going to deal with the economy, and what are we going to do about climate change, and what are we going to do about, lo and behold, the single most important issue to them apparently right now is critical race theory. Who knew that was the threat to our republic?
He has to rush to the microphone to defend critical race theory because there's some pushback coming from Donald Trump, coming from governors in red states. They don't want that in their education, the educational system. They don't want young children taught from the earliest age that your country is evil and horribly racist, always has been. There's a through line from Tulsa to today. And so there he is, reminding everyone who will listen of just how evil and how divided we are. And it's destructive. There was a story, I didn't have time to get to it yesterday. This was from the Daily Mail. The Queen, it says, the Queen has become the latest victim of cancel culture after students at an Oxford college voted to remove her portrait. To remove the portrait of the sitting Queen of England. Why? Because in the minds of these brainwashed students, that portrait is a symbol of colonialism, and colonialism is evil through and through. That's what they've been taught at Oxford. And so now a picture of the Queen has to come down. You remember, don't you, a few years ago when President Trump says, where will this end? Okay, you want to take down the statue of Stonewall Jackson or Robert E. Lee? What about Thomas Jefferson? What about George Washington? What about those founding fathers? And of course, we were writing about this at the trumpet at the time. Tomorrow's News Today. If you're not a subscriber, by the way, make sure that you call our operators today to subscribe to the trumpet, 1-866-930-3024. And the subscription to the monthly magazine, there's no cost for it, no obligation. You get a one-year subscription, completely free, totally free. This article at the Daily Mail, it says, the Queen's likeness hung in the middle common room of Magdalen College, which has a long association with members of the royal family. But never mind that history. Forget about that history and its long association with the royal family. It needs to be canceled. It says the MCR committee, made up of graduate students, voted for the portrait, a colorized print based on a 1952 photo of the monarch, to be taken down, claiming it represented an unwelcoming symbol of recent colonial history. What, to repeat myself, what other nation in the world does this to itself? Besides the United States and Britain, what other nation? Even France, remember, not that long ago, France said, no way, no statues are coming down. I mean, they've got statues of the leader of the fifth resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, who slaughtered people all across Europe. You think France is going to pull those down? Not a chance. That happens in the United States and Britain. The Queen of England. It says the portrait has now been removed, according to the committee's president, and it's understood it will be put in storage. Well, she's got to be put in the basement, just like Joe Biden last year. Put her downstairs. Hide out. Can't make an appearance. It says Magdalen has indicated it will not intervene to reverse the decision, despite the long association between royalty and the college, which the Queen herself visited in 1948 to receive an honorary degree from Oxford University, and again in 2008 to mark its 550th anniversary. And look at how times have changed. She's there in 1948. She's being honored. At that time, a princess. She's honored. She's given an honorary degree. And even 2008, she goes back there and she's welcomed and she's honored. And what's happened over the past 13 years? What has happened to our nations? President Trump was right on it, wasn't he? When in that contentious press conference back in 2017, he stood up for American culture and history. And that's why the communists and the media and the political class, that's why they hated him so much. That's why they hate him to this day. Listen to Donald Trump from August of 2017. This was clip 9.
So this week it's Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after? You know, you really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop? But they were there to protest. Excuse me. You take a look the night before. They were there to protest the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee.
Now, the way that the propaganda press reacted when he said that, it really, really upset them. And then there were all the commentaries after the fact that said, now listen, they lectured the president and most of America. There's a big difference between Robert E. Lee and George Washington. Come on now. Nobody's saying pull down George Washington. And of course, that came a few months later. He called them out, and like so many times with so many other things, he was right. He saw where it was leading. And of course, we know too, writing in the trumpet as we have so often, that there's a spirit behind it all, and the spirit wants to blot out even the name of Israel. So you know right where this is headed. In the UK, it's headed for the Queen of England. Well, it's not headed there, it's arrived. Here in the United States, it's the flag, the stars and bars, Old Glory. We sing about that in the Celtic Throne performance. And you have to wonder how much longer you're going to be able to even sing in front of an audience before something like that is booed, before something like that really offends someone. Now, for the most part, the people that we're singing and dancing in front of appreciate it and love it. And you saw an arena full of people from Long Island, New York, proudly singing over the lady singing the national anthem. But then you see the other side, don't you? The anti-American class. Those that are just full of hate. It says here in the trumpet, this is Richard Palmer from September of last year. Well, he quotes 2 Kings 14, Satan's effort to blot out Israel, even the name. And Richard writes, you see this in the self-hatred among the radical left in Britain and America. You see it in the hatred for Britain and America in nations around the world. And you see it today in the hatred for this history. It says, that is what the attacks on Nelson, Drake, Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, Roosevelt, and more are all about. It's about blotting out the name of Israel. There's lots of nations, as he brings out, nations abroad that hate the United States and Britain. But look, the enemy is right here at home as well, and they have utter contempt for America and its founding institutions, the founding fathers. Even now, the Queen of England, in Oxford, of all places, says, Britain and America's history is a massive signpost that points people to God. Thus, Satan the devil hates it and works to blot it out, pushing a new message. God didn't make Britain and America great. Slavery did. They only became wealthy because they stole it from everybody else. That's the message. That's the counterfeit from the devil. God didn't shower these blessings upon the United States and Great Britain. We went and stole it from everywhere else in the world. We stole it from other races. This is why, as I say, they hate Donald Trump so much, and evidently the Queen of England now, because they represent institutions and traditions and culture that they despise. And you know what's amazing to me, just to go back to this story about Hunter Biden from the other day, here are the accusations of racism. They're coming from a party, the Democrat Party, which is the party of racism, of slavery, of segregation, of Jim Crow. I would imagine, I don't know this for sure, but I bet those whites that were leading the way in that Tulsa massacre back in 1921, I bet a lot of them were good old Democrats. So everyone's canceled except for radical Democrats. John Nolte, he had a piece yesterday, last night, in Breitbart. I forget the exact title. It was N-word usage. The Bidens, 15 times that we know of. The Trumps, zero that we know of. Using the N-word. This is the President of the United States and his son, Hunter. And these are the people attacking the flag, attacking America's founding institutions, accusing everybody and their dog of being a racist. This is from the Spectator World. It says here, no one will care about Hunter Biden and the N-word scandal. No one will care. He's the president's son, not some anonymous high schooler, so he gets a pass. He gets a pass. Come on now. Let's be real. It says, the Daily Mail, one of the last publications willing to publish interesting things about Democratic U.S. presidents, has published several unflattering messages between Biden and his lawyer. Well, you know some of this history. I don't need to get into the detail. But it says here, this would all be very, very bad for Hunter and his parents if he were a local TV anchor or a cake shop owner or a middle schooler or something. If he were any of those things, then this story might conceivably consume the national news cycle for at least a day. Fear not, though. Hunter Biden will be fine. His story will be restricted to the pages of the Mail and a few conservative-ish outlets. To his immense good fortune, he's merely the son of the U.S. president who has inexplicably piled up one lucrative opportunity after another, despite being a druggie and an all-around screw-up. Nobody at CNN finds his story interesting. It's not even covered. It's just ignored. Here is this individual, this addict, writing about all of the terrible things that he's done, as I've covered on this report before, this show before, and it's just and the press rave about it. And then this happens, no big deal. It says, now if Hunter were somebody really powerful and important, like an anonymous high schooler dreaming of cheerleading at the University of Tennessee, then this story would be important. Then he might get a 2,500-word essay in the New York Times about him and the psychopathic classmate who doxed him for a two-year-old video. And then that poor person is canceled, even as Hunter and the Biden crime family carry on, accusing everyone, accusing the nation as a whole of being racist. You can't make this up. Well, let's take a short break, and I'll come back. There's quite a lot to get to about the another media-made narrative that was completely destroyed yesterday. I should say an anti-Trump media-made narrative. We'll come to that when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program and send us some feedback, you can write us at td@thetrumpet.com. td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are We Living in the Last Days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
In case you haven't noticed, quite a few of these false narratives have been exposed in recent weeks. So many of the lies that have been told, the Russia collusion hoax, the story about the Steele dossier, I think it was the New York Times or the Washington Post, I forget. We went through it a couple weeks ago. They came out and said, yeah, it was all bogus information, all lies. More recently, of course, the Wuhan lab. If you said the Wuhan lab is where this virus originated, you were, for well over a year, a dangerous lunatic, a conspiracy theorist. And now what do we know about Wuhan? Now what do we know about the virus? And you know what's amazing too is when these false narratives are exposed, you do get some that come out and say, okay, we got it wrong. Not that many. But in most cases, these radical leftists, these communists, they just double down. Listen to Anthony Fauci. This is an incredible exchange. He's got Chuck Todd there. I don't think you hear from Todd, but Chuck is there lobbing softballs as per usual, giving him a chance. And Fauci, of course, is rushing to these far left networks to try to defend himself because he's been exposed as a liar and a fraud. And listen to him defending himself just yesterday. This is clip 7.
It's a lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. So if you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. Science and the truth are being attacked.
That's a very small man with a massive ego. I am science, is what he's saying. I mean, it's like he's Jesus Christ. I am the way. I am the truth. If you criticize me, then you're attacking science. That man funded the lab that created the virus that killed millions of people. Now, they've had the comorbidities and all that, most of them, but leave that aside. The propaganda media, they had the tracker, the TikTok, every single one, every victim, millions worldwide. Hundreds of thousands in the United States. What did they die from? Leave aside the comorbidities for a moment. The media told us COVID-19, coronavirus. Where did it come from? It came from the Wuhan lab. It was developed as a bioweapon. Where did they get their funding? Fauci. Don't you dare criticize him. Can you believe he used the word consistent? He's been consistent. That man's been more inconsistent than any scientist on earth. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Wuhan market. Now I'm open for the Wuhan lab. Lockdowns work. Well, we don't know everything on the lockdowns. Not just yet. He's been exposed. I did not fund that lab. Yes, you did, said Rand Paul. He's been exposed. So many of these false narratives have been. Yesterday we learned about the rioting at Lafayette Park. This is right across the street from the White House. Happened just a little over a year ago. May 29, 30, 31, June 1st. And you remember the media mocking Donald Trump, saying that, yeah, he came out to the church across the street. The church that the rioters were burning. And he walked across the street to the church holding a Bible, Donald Trump, and all the contempt and the hate that the media had for him. And they added that, and this was all across the reporting from the propaganda media, that Donald Trump, He pushed back the protesters, the rioters, forcibly for a photo op. They came out, and first they were saying it was all kinds of gas and rubber bullets. They exaggerated everything. And now we learn that it wasn't Donald Trump that asked that the protesters be pushed back at all. They were trying to clear away the protesters so that they could put up some protective fencing. That's revealed in a long report from the Inspector General just yesterday, 35, 40 pages, interviewing practically everyone. And even under the fake Biden administration period, you have all of these witnesses saying, no, Trump didn't order that. He didn't tell us to go move the protesters so that he could take a picture. Listen to the Interior Department IG. This is clip 6.
We did not find evidence that a potential presidential visit to the park or the St. John's Church influenced the park police's decision-making or their deployment.
Didn't find any evidence of that. Within the report, the acting chief of police for the U.S. parks there in D.C., he said, I can tell you with 100% certainty that the Secret Service and the park police timeline did not change the entire day. In other words, we were planning to push them back so that we could put up fencing. Now, another interesting angle to this story is when you compare it to January 6th. That's another media narrative that's just blowing up. A false narrative. And for that one, I mean, they pushed everyone out of Washington, D.C. practically as they put up fencing and razor wire all over the city. They turned the nation's capital into an armed camp because of the January 6th protest that resulted in one woman being killed. And you know the story about that. I won't get into it. But here's NBC this morning. And again, most are doubling down. Joe Scarborough, they're just mocking this report. Jim Acosta saying, well, this IG guy, he must be lobbying for a job with Donald Trump. It's always Trump. Just throw in racism and, as I say, you got everything covered. But there's some more honest reporters that are saying, yeah, that narrative from last year, we didn't quite get that right. This is NBC, as I think it is. This is clip 12.
Chuck, this is a really surprising finding by the Inspector General of the Interior Department. They took a look at this, an independent investigation, and they found that the decision to clear the park made by the park police had nothing to do whatsoever. They found no evidence that it had anything to do with the president's decision to have a photo op and walk through there and have a photo op at the nearby historic church. They had decided, the park police, to clear that park of protesters hours before, according to this report, so a contractor could install some anti-scale fencing. But the narrative we thought we knew is not the reality.
The narrative we thought we knew is not the reality. Surprise, surprise. Well, good for him for at least saying it. This is from the report itself. From May 30th to 31st, at least 49 USPP officers were injured while policing the protests, and federal and private property was vandalized. This happened right outside the White House. And I remember when we reported on this, how difficult it was last year to find out what the rioters were doing to property and to the police. They were attacking the police. 49 officers injured in this riot. 49. It says here, the evidence we obtained did not support a finding that the USPP cleared the park to allow the president to survey the damage and walk to St. John's Church. Instead, the evidence we reviewed showed that the USPP cleared the park to allow the contractor to safely install the anti-scale fencing in response to destruction of property and injury of officers. So we had officers injured, we had property destroyed right outside the White House, and all that they wanted to do was to push the crowd back some and put up protective fencing. Because after all, inside the White House, there's a certain individual that's the commander-in-chief of the entire nation. And as I say, just run the parallel or the coverage, the reporting, compare it to all that happened after January 6th. Here, 49 officers were injured. The report continues. Officers were assaulted with projectiles, such as bottles and bricks, and a brick struck a USPP officer in the head, resulting in the officer's hospitalization. USPP officers reported that some protesters threw projectiles, such as bricks, rocks, caustic liquids, frozen water, bottles, glass bottles, lit flares, rental scooters, and fireworks at law enforcement officials. It says a major who served as the DCNG liaison to the USPP on June 1st told us that Saturday, that would be May 30th, had been rather violent and it was riotous. And Sunday was what I expected. People throwing bottles, hurling objects, shooting fireworks at officers. Overall, 49 officers were injured during the protests. And this went on for over 4 days. Not 4 hours. For 4 days. Police officers being attacked. Statues pulled down. Churches burned. It says damage to both federal and private property also occurred during the protests. With respect to Lafayette Park, historic statues were vandalized with graffiti, and on May 31st, the park's comfort station was set on fire. A fire was also set in the basement of St. John's Church. Nearby stores and businesses were looted. Looting, burning, attacking police, and law enforcement comes along and says, we've got to protect the president. We've got to push this back. We've got to put up some protective fencing. And this report goes through it detail by detail. The trucks that were bringing in the fencing, how that they were waiting for law enforcement to act so that they could have space to just put up the fence. And then for whatever reason, I don't know, but the president, remember, he wanted to make an appearance. He didn't want to go down into the bunker of the White House. But those protecting him insisted upon it. And so he then insists on making an appearance to just send a message to America that, look, everything's fine. We've got it under control. And how did the media treat him? We saw the way they reacted in January. Oh, the Congress. Well, that's like a religious shrine. How dare anyone with a Trump flag, and it better not be coupled with the U.S. flag, how dare they walk into the halls of Congress nonchalantly taking photos? 400 of those protesters put in jail, some of them sitting in solitary confinement now for months. I wonder how many of those rioters from May 29 to June 1st of last year, right outside the White House, I wonder how many of them were in jail for 3 months. I wonder if any of them were in solitary confinement. I wonder if Bill Barr went after anyone in that crowd and actually prosecuted them, because it surely happened after Jan 6. That was so serious. I mean, we had to set up a shrine for police officers. One that died of a stroke after the protest. There was a shrine in Officer Sicknick's honor. And he died of a stroke. Here's 49 officers attacked, injured. One beaten on the head with it actually happened. You know, they made up the fire extinguisher story. The media, these are your friends in the media. And here's one where a brick actually hit an officer in the head. He's hospitalized. No shrine for him. Oh, no. Like I said, you couldn't even get to any of these details last summer. We reported on some of it, and we had to go to the Daily Mail and sources outside of the United States just to find it. Just to find out what this riot was doing in the nation's capital, just outside of the White House. So President Trump, he gets out of the White House. He walks across the street with his entourage. And how did the media react to that? Well, here's a montage put together by Daily Caller, clip 8.
If the White House president and his team had to do it all over again, would you have gassed and pummeled protesters to clear the park so the president could have a photo op?
Is on Washington, where peaceful protesters, we have to stress that, peaceful protesters outside the White House were tear gassed and pushed away so it appears that the president could have a photo op.
And just yesterday, as Alex notes, we saw protesters, peaceful protesters, pushed back so that President Trump could have that photo op in front of St. John's Episcopal Church.
Up next, the president and his photo op.
It turned out they were trying to clear the area so President Trump could get a photo opportunity outside of a church.
And outrage is growing after U.S. Park and Secret Service police fired tear gas and rubber bullets into a crowd of peaceful demonstrators near the White House, clearing the way for the president's photo op in front.
So while the president clutched a Bible and posed for a photo op outside a church, his Democratic opponent, Joe Biden, was inside.
We carried away protesters using cleared away protesters using tear gas and rubber bullets so that Donald Trump could walk across the street from the White House and stage a photo op in front of a church.
The president forcefully clearing the streets by Lafayette Park, clearing the streets of peaceful protesters.
Where force was used, as I said the day before, to clear the president's way to St. John's Church for that photo op.
The president wanted this photo op, and he wanted to disperse that crowd.
A large crowd of peaceful protesters cleared out of the park across from the White House so the president could go pose for a photo.
Why did the police, why were they ordered to move on protesters at that moment? Obviously, the president wanted a photo op.
And it was President Trump sending a message that he feels good about today, looking at these images. He wanted to show that he could move Americans physically out of the way to do this photo op.
Just one day after peaceful protesters were gassed so he could stage a photo op in front of St. John's Church.
Any circumstance to violate the constitutional rights of their fellow citizens, much less to provide a bizarre photo op for the elected commander-in-chief.
Propaganda media. We got a lot of it last summer. There they are saying how peaceful the protesters are, and then how dare law enforcement push them? How dare they push them? They say nothing about the violence, the looting, the burning, the bricks, bottles of frozen water, hurling objects at police, at Secret Service. There was one instance where one of the rioters tried to scale the fence of the White House. No wonder they were pushing them back to put up another layer of fencing. There's your propaganda media in full force, standing up for the rioters, defending the rioters, and then lying about the president over and over and over again. What was it that the police chief said? I can tell you with 100% certainty that the Secret Service and the Park Police timeline did not change the entire day. So it was a total lie, we now know. This IG report says on May 31st, Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, she's a radical leftist, she ordered an 11 p.m. curfew, finding that in the downtown area of the District of Columbia, numerous businesses and government buildings were vandalized, burned, or looted. This is what was going on. This is what the media were covering up. Even as they carried on with the photo op lie. Says over the past nights, there has been a glorification of violence, particularly in the later hours of the night. It says the health, safety, and well-being of persons within the District of Columbia are threatened and endangered by the existence of these violent actions. That's a quote from Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., the Democrat, who said it's dangerous. She put a curfew in place. And it had no impact. It was of no effect because the rioters just disregarded it. Sun would come up, they'd tone it down for a little bit, and then when the sun set, they got busy burning, looting, attacking police officers, vandalizing things, pulling down statues. And this went on, not for 4 hours, 4 days this went on, 4 days just outside of the White House. It says further on the evening of May 30th, individuals at the protest threw projectiles at the officers and ultimately breached the first row of bike rack fencing, thereby eliminating the buffer between the protesters and law enforcement officers. Who is pushing who here? You have protesters removing barriers so that they could go right up to the police officers and confront them. It says here the USPP incident commander told us that after 16 USPP officers were injured and fires were set to the park's comfort station and the basement of St. John's Church on the evening of May 31st, he and his Secret Service counterpart determined the only way to safely install the fence along the north sidewalk of the park would be to clear the protesters from this area. So they decided we've got to push back so we can establish another barrier, so that we can set up another barrier. Donald Trump had nothing to do with it. Nothing. And yet you hear those liars in the media. Communists, all of them. And then Joe Scarborough on his program this morning, just mocking this report. The egos on these people is similar to Dr. Fauci. They can do no wrong. I am the truth. I am the way. I am science, says the good doctor. That's a mad scientist. I am science? These are the people that have been leading the nation in many ways. Leading the attack. Perhaps I should put it that way. Leading the attack against the United States and its founding institutions. Now they go after the U.S. flag. It's disturbing. Makes me uncomfortable. Can't put a picture of Queen Elizabeth up at Oxford. It's dangerous. It's too dangerous. Weaponizing history. It says here in the early evening of June 1st, acts of violence directed toward the law enforcement increased, the crowd size grew, and on it goes. Well, let me just take you to chapter 4, because we need to conclude here by understanding and knowing about where this is leading. This is chapter 4 of the Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet booklet. My father wrote this many years ago. Terrorism and race riots. Call our operators and order your free copy. 1-866-930-3024. And read this booklet. My father says this: race is a highly charged subject in the United States today and in many other nations. Past wrongs and present inequalities create fertile ground for hurt, frustration, and anger. Many prominent leaders, both black and white, are deliberately fueling these grievances for their own political gain. They're using race as a deadly weapon. It says the problems that will result are far more dangerous than they realize. And that's something my father has said quite often over the years. It's worse than you think. We've got to prepare ourselves. We've got to brace ourselves by just immersing ourselves into the truth, God's truth. The gospel that Jesus proclaimed. He is the way. He is the truth. And the rest of us, left to our own carnal devices, we lie, we cheat, we steal, we deceive. We deceive ourselves. God is the way. God is the only way. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to email some feedback if you like, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.